Welcome to the War Report on Public Education. The future of education is an important concern for our time. Where it's heading, how it's evolving, and the influence corporate America has on its outcome. The War Report on Public Education provides critical news, analysis, and perspectives on the what, why, who, where, when, and how of both the new corporate state elites campaign, the Machiavellian agenda to destroy the nation's public education system, and the rising public resistance movement to defend and defeat this Machiavellian agenda. And now, here is our host, Dr. James Abington Miller, Jr.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of the War Report. I mentioned briefly a little bit last week that Joe Lee, you know Joe, my right hand, never my left hand, was not feeling well. She was a little under the weather and et cetera. That wasn't quite the full story. That was last Sunday, a week ago today. The following day, Monday, Joe had to go to the hospital, emergency. What I don't know if I remember now telling you last week that she had been feeling not too well and symptoms and da-da-da. She went to the hospital before the last show, and she was diagnosed with scarlet fever. And we sort of like joked about it. And if you know me, every once in a while I like having fun, especially with my friends, my family, and what have you. And so when she told me she had scarlet fever, first thing I said was like, who gets scarlet fever today? Come on, who gets scarlet fever? And she said, well, I feel the same way. And, of course, immediately I went into my best imitation of, frankly, Charlotte, I don't give a damn. And she retorted with her best imitation of Scarlett O'Hara, frankly, Brett, I don't, da-da-da. Anyway, that was our thing until last week. She, instead of getting better, she went to the doctor, she was diagnosed, they put her on medication, it was supposed to take care of the situation in 3 or 4 days, she was able to be able to go back to teaching. Well, after 3 or 4 days, instead of getting better, she was getting worse. And each day, she was getting worse. Finally, she went to the hospital, because the doctor was busy. Bottom line was, when she got to the hospital, after they looked at her, they rushed her into the burn unit. Scarlet fever is one thing, but she was having a reaction to the medication. One in, like, out of 100 or more have this kind of reaction. And she was literally burning up inside. And so once they figure out what was wrong, immediately started taking action, and she may be in the hospital another 3 weeks or a total of 1 month. So me, I'd never made light of it, but I didn't tell you last week more about it because at that time we didn't know what it was. And two, it's a personal thing, and she and I talked about it, and she said I could share it with you guys. So that was the first order of business. And secondly, of course, I miss you, Joe. Get well. You know, you and Deborah are my right and left hand. You are the real power behind the throne. If I am just a titular head here. So, get well soon. If not, I'll have to come to Connecticut. That's both a threat and a promise. Okay, here's to the show. We're going to finish off on what turned out to be a three-part series on the purpose of public education. And It is, as I have said over the years, you have to know the purpose. That's the why. Once you understand the why, the what, the where, the when, the how, makes sense. The why pulls it all together. And here, the why is the purpose. The purpose of public education. And as you know, that the purpose of public education has changed over a century and a half or more. But there have been some things that have been pretty much supposedly a constant in terms of trying to define the purpose. And if we go back, and I have done this in the past here on War Report, going back to maybe even caveman style in terms of what was education then and how was it delivered. And as we come up through the years, the centuries, education comes from an informal thing to a formal thing. And once it becomes, well, once it became formal, then the notion of a purpose became even more important. And remember also, through the years, here in the United States, what we now call the United States, starting 1607, when the first English people arrived on the shores of Virginia, and coming forward, people didn't have formal education. Very, very, very few people had formal education. Education was an informal thing. Education was part of what I've always talked about in terms of the socialization. You're taking that newborn infant or an adult coming into a society and you train. It's a training process. You train that person to be a member of the family or the society. You train that person how to survive in the family and society. You train that person to become, quote, a functioning member of the group versus a non-functioning member. And it was a family role. Then the church. Then maybe the community at large. These were the socializing institutions from time, beginning of time. Then you can add the workplace. Yes, the workplace. You learn how to become a tradesman, a craftsman. You learn from your parents how to be a farmer, how to grow your food so you can sustain yourself during the winter when you couldn't grow the food. So education has the word, let's deal with the word education. You know, it's training. It's providing the newborn or the new person, be it an adult or the newborn, how to survive within their social, cultural environment. And survive mean not just staying alive, but how to survive as a functioning member of that group, that community, this country, that country, or whatever. That's what education is in terms of its basic rudimentary self and the informalness of it. We progress from there to, well, before we go there, go further, some people had a formal education. formal meaning that there was this thing called a school or university that they went to be educated, to be trained. There was individuals who would be hired to come to your household or come to a given place to do the training, to do the educating of youth, children, even adults. Very haphazardly in terms of one out of X number, large number, had the benefit of that private educator. For most part, you know, the vast majority of people were illiterate. You know all of this. When we then get into, say, I'm going to jump forward to the Horseman era in Massachusetts and his push for developing the common school and making it available to the masses as a free enterprise. There was a purpose behind that push. Go come up further in time, there becomes a battle between what we today would call the public good purpose for educating people versus the private good. And you know what I'm talking about because that's what we've been talking about for the last 3.5 years. Education for the public good is education for the student, for the good of the student, and for the good of society. Education for the private good is just that. Education for the individual and for the corporate state today. And there has been this battle, sometimes very, very stealth battle. And I mentioned, I remember the words that I used back 3.5 years ago when I was talking about Horseman and the push for public education and that it be a responsibility of the city, the state, and then, you know, later on the federal government to support public education financially and otherwise now. But there was a purpose for it back then, and there has been a specific purpose for it ever since. And when we started this back 2 weeks ago, when I started talking about the purpose of public education, I asked a series of questions. What is education? What purpose does it serve? Whose interest does it serve? Who decides its purpose or purposes? Who are the architect of public education? How does it, public education, benefit the person being educated? How does it benefit society? Do different levels of education / schooling, elementary, middle school, secondary, post-secondary, have different purposes? Or are they just different parts on a continuum? Remember, I asked that. And what school teachers need to know to teach the purpose or purposes? What should teachers be able to teach? I left you guys with those two questions last week. If you thought about it, I'd be delighted. If you didn't, okay. You know. Before I go further, let me say this. Teachers and parents, but particular teachers. We teach to the purpose. Whatever that purpose is at any given moment, we teach to the purpose. Now, we may not know that we're teaching to a purpose or set of purposes. We may think we're teaching to our own drumbeat, but I will argue that to be able to teach, to be able to get your teaching certificate or certification, you are being trained to teach to a bigger purpose than most people realize as teachers and as parents. And I also put this out to parents. Why are you sending your child to school? If you subtract, it's mandatory. I go to jail if I don't. Why are you sending? What's your purpose? What purpose are you looking for? And give you an example of what I'm talking about here. And I've said this about me and my parents. My father, who was uneducated, couldn't read or write, never went to school a day in his life, had a hard life, especially as a child growing up. He wanted me to get an education so that I could have a better life than he had had and was have. That was the driving motivation for him, was to make sure that his child would have a better life than he had had and would have. My mother, on the other hand, who was somewhat educated and was educated for her time, she had a different purpose. Her purpose was for me to go to school, and I told you this, to go to Wayne State University, our big university in Detroit, and then to become a doctor and go out and help people. Kind of, I won't say conflicting purposes here. And I, of course, didn't know what I know today, but basically in my family, we had what we have always had and what we have today in spades. On the one hand, my father would represent the individual corporate benefit of me getting an education. On the other side was my mother, who wanted me to get an education so that I could go out and help people. The public good. Public good versus the private good. I didn't realize it then, but that's what the dynamics were in my family. And so, as a teacher, when I became a teacher, I became a teacher both to fulfill both my mother and my father's dream. But I became a teacher not to become a doctor to deal with individual patients on a one-on-one basis. I became a teacher because I wanted to be able to help a larger group of people in my lifetime. Rather than saying I was a doctor to 500, 1,000 patients, I wanted to say that I helped in the thousands, the tens of thousands in my lifetime. This is part and parcel of what I have been talking about from the very beginning here, and we deal with purpose. And I had said that I would lay out some of the, and for this show, we call it the changing purposes the many and changing purposes of public education. So I'm going to lay out some of the purposes of education that have been advocated by people, groups, power groups, public interest groups over the years. And I think many of you will recognize some of these purposes. You may not have thought of them in terms of being the purpose of education, but how many of them would you say, yes, that's the purpose of education, or yes, that's why I became a teacher. That was my purpose. Let's start off with the usual suspect when I say socialization. The purpose of sending a child to school beyond the fact that it's mandatory is so that that child will be socialized, go through a socialization process from preschool to 12 and maybe into college and become the kind of person that society really wants. That's socialization. Another purpose, enculturation, which means pretty much the same thing. You send the kid to school, and teachers, you teach the child the culture, the dominant culture of a given society, so that that person will become a carrier of the culture going forward. In the sense, that person, that student, when they finish the process, will be an agent to maintain and perpetuate the culture. These are not in any particular order or hierarchy. We have intellectual development. That's that sophisticated aristocratic purpose, to develop intellectually as opposed to being ignorant. You are a well-informed carrier of your culture, your society. Intellectual development. Emotional and physical well-being. Yes, we want the school, we want the public school, public education to contribute through the teaching process to our children getting and receiving support and becoming emotionally and physically well-being. I could stop and go right there and never leave for the next hour, the next week, the next 2 weeks, or what have you. That's pretty much where I reside in terms of the emotional, physical well-being of each student. I also come down, I'm pretty sure you guys would guess, I come down pretty heavily on the intellectual development purpose. Moving on, mastery of basic skills. Society wants all of its members to be instructed in and to master the basic skills. English, reading, writing, arithmetic. Now we call math. But again, being the older person, and possibly the oldest person in this audience, is that when I was in school, it was reading, writing, and arithmetic. That's what the teachers were there to teach us. that and maybe a couple of other things that I'll mention. I'll try to remember and add them to this basic skills thing. But you know what I'm talking about in terms of mastery of basic skills. Then we have career education. And you have to know what that's all about, because that's what we're today, right? College and career ready. And let me take a moment here. We have talked about this, again, over the last 3.5 years. From Horseman days, his struggle to get this thing that we now call public education, there were always business entities that, and I've used the same phrase, who wanted a seat at the table, who, having a seat at the table, they would be able to say what this thing called education should be, what we call curriculum pedagogy. They wanted the schools to train people to come out ready for taking their place as workers. This has been probably throughout all of history, even going back to Stone Age time, when the male children were being trained to be hunters and be able to go out and procure food in the form of taking down animals and bringing back to provide food, the skin of the animals providing cover for the tent or cover for the body. That was the role that the elders or the father, the older brothers, the other family members, community members were teachers then, to be able to transmit what they knew, the knowledge, what they knew to the new members of their society, so that that person could become a contributing member of society. The basic skills thing that we talked about, the career thing, these come together in that scenario that I just laid out. Another purpose. Citizenship. That, and you know this from American history, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, they all, even George Washington, they all talked about the importance of an informed citizenry, and that citizens should be educated to the point where they could really be this thing called democracy. They would be the democratic citizen. And they would be able to, with their knowledge, they would be able to make informed decisions in terms of their voting. Not only who they were voting for, but what they were voting for and what they expected of the people that they were voting for and what they expected from the government, and being able to assess the government and then call the government out if they were not doing what the government wasn't doing, what the people had elected the government to do. That was citizenship, the informed citizens. Then we have others who wanted education to be, to bring out the creativity in individuals, a sort of form of individuality, our creativeness, not to stifle the imagination, but instead to bring out in each individual his or her own creativity, stimulating imagination that would then sprout this creativity. Is that what we also have been wailing for? You know, our arts and our humanities courses, majors in college, is these courses that allows for the individual's creativity the innate creativity that we all have to be stimulated and allowed to give expression. Compare that to another purpose, self-regulation. That the purpose of education, and when I say education, I'm saying public education and public schooling. In this case, they're one and the same, I'm saying, was to help the individual develop self-regulation so that all of these tendencies to be going left, right, up, down, haywire would be molded into a cohesive sphere where the individual would learn how to contain his or herself, to control his or herself, to self-regulate and not need the larger society, be it the parent, be it the neighbors, be it the police, be it whomever, whatever, being always present to regulate the individual. I used to use this example when I was teaching my criminal justice class and my social psych class. Say one night, you're coming home from a party, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and you live in an area where you don't have a lot of traffic, you don't have the street lights, and you have these long stretches of road with a stop sign here, a stop sign there. You're trying to get home as fast as you can because you have to pee. Yeah. You're blasting 100 miles an hour, and there's not a soul visible miles. You come up on this stop sign. Do you stop or you keep going? Most people would stop. Why? Because we have been trained through our schooling, through our family, through others in the community, other social institutions, to obey the rules. And when we internalize the rules and how we should respond to the rules, this is what is meant by you become self-regulating. And I would end that example by saying I was in Los Angeles. I would say that the city of Los Angeles is huge. I mean, huge geographically. The city maybe had 2, 3 million, 4 million inhabitants. They only had, at this particular juncture, 10,000 law enforcement personnel. And at any given time, it was only a third of that actually patrolling the streets of Los Angeles. A third. We're talking 3,000, 3,300 maybe, just make it even 3,500. How is that possible? It was possible because we have been trained to self-regulate, and our schooling played a large, large part in developing this thing called self-regularization. And so, major purpose for some people. Then we have moral and ethical character. The schools playing a role, and each of us who go to school acquiring moral and ethical character as defined by the larger society. I'm pretty sure you already knew that, you get that, and even though we don't talk about it, morality, character, it's there from day one. I just thought of something I hadn't thought about in, I don't know how many decades here. My first day of kindergarten. I'm in the room, and I want to go exploring. And my kindergarten teacher yells out to me to stop, come here, and begin to tell me that you don't move until I tell you to. You can't do this until I tell you to. And I'm going, shaking my head up and down. That was the beginning of the teacher shaping my, from her point of view, character and my moral code. It would, and I just thought of something else. It happened again in the seventh grade. First day of, no, actually it was about first week of middle school, seventh grade, family night. Me and my little buddy, parents are all there and the teacher there. We're dressed in our little suits, and I want to go exploring. And this big booming voice, another teacher, calling me back and saying, like, you don't, you know, you're in the seventh grade now. You don't do this, that. Basically, you don't move unless I tell you to move. You don't do X unless I tell you to. This was part of the moral, ethical character that the school was shaping, going along with that self-regulation. And you see what I'm doing here, folks. I'm tying many of these purposes together. They're the dots. So far, the socialization, the intellectual development, the emotional and physical well-being, the career education, the mastery of basic skills, the enculturation, self-regulation, and creativity, citizenship, moral character, and I mentioned earlier, self-regulation, and then there was another one now, the autonomous actor. How to be independent, how to be capable of deciding for yourself, taking action as an autonomous agent, and encouraging this autonomy because we want you to come out and be capable as an individual to function as an individual, to be an independent thinker, to be an independent actor, and however, doing that within a set of parameters, of course, but nonetheless, a purpose was to encourage and to develop this sense and capability of being an autonomous actor. Then you have here the social, vocational, personal education, and the academic. I've laid out probably about 15 different purposes. At any given time in the last 150 to 300-400 years, one or more of these purposes have been the primary purpose of education. Now, they're in some combination. Of course, different location would have different emphasis on a particular purpose that is seen as being paramount in that state, that city, that school district. But make no mistake about it, there's always, always a purpose to our education. And needless to say, what I'm saying about public education, the same thing applies to private education. only difference with private education is that they have a stronger hand in laying out a strict purpose or set of purposes because they're private and they're not being regulated by the state. They can say religious education and indoctrinating you with our notion of Christianity, Judaism, Buddhism. So, that's our purpose. Either accept it or you don't. Public education, you can't do it that way. You already know this and what have you. So, now, what I want to do, since my time is heading towards ending, I want to bring out more about the importance of teachers and parents understanding what I've been talking about for the last 3.5 years in terms of the purpose is everything. Today, what is the purpose of public education in America today? That purpose has been hijacked, and the hijacking could argue, and I have argued. Some people say it goes back to 2002 and No Child Left Behind. Others will say, "Oh no! It goes back to Nation at Risk." But I have said, as a minimum, it goes back to 1957 and the Russians launching Sputnik. When Russia launched Sputnik, that's 1957. Let's go back to 1945, 12 years before that, when the United States dropped 2 atomic bombs on Japan, Hiroshima and Nagasaki, ending World War II. Okay? You have got to that capability because when defeated the Germans on their soil, the U.S. knew about this thing called a hydrogen bomb. And they had seen what the German scientists were able to do, coming up with the first jet engine, jet plane, the Panzer tank, beat the hell out of the U.S. Sherman tank, and how advanced their weaponry was. And when they found out about this thing called heavy water, that was what the nickname was for this atomic reaction that was being laid out, they made a concerted effort, along with the Russians, to grab up as many of the German scientists as they possibly could get their hands on. Many of those same German scientists defected to the West as Russia was coming in from the East. So we both get our hands on these German scientists. Ones that come back here to the U.S., they bring their contribution have been to the making of this thing called the H-bomb, the A-bomb, the atomic bomb. And then within a matter of months, Chicago, Soldier Field, the football stadium, underneath it was this secret lab. They helped develop the A-bomb, figured out how to deliver it, which Germany was trying to do, and with it, they were going to drop it on Russia, drop it on the United States, hence becoming world dominant. U.S. gets the capability, they drop it on Japan. Now, we have the lead, we being the U.S. The next thing is this thing called space. So we're battling the Russians for supremacy in space. Russians surprise and then scares the hell out of the world when they launch Sputnik, unmanned but with a monkey. You guys know this. That sent shockwaves to the U.S. Education, public education was blamed for the failure to beat the Russians to this capability. And that was the beginning of an effort to redefine both the purpose, the function of education. And they did it like the government always does. They villainized, and then they laid out all this money for what? Scientific studies. Pushing chemistry, pushing physics, pushing this new thing called the atomic science, computer science, technology, start to get primacy over a liberal education. Yeah, it started back there in the late 50s, folks. Fast forward to 20-some years later, when Japan has recovered, and guess what? They started making products that is perceived to be superior to U.S. manufacturers, superior to European manufacturers, their automobiles, their machinery, their electronics. Japan takes over. Again, shockwave, shockwave, shockwave. Education has jumped on again. And hence, now, education should turn out the students who become young adults and adults who can bolster the U.S. commercialism. You go from war machine to commercialism. Make what Trump would say, make America great again in commerce. We need to build better cars. We need to build better electronics. We need to build everything. And we start studying the Japanese method of production and adopting and improving. Then we get into adding that to the Supreme Court decision of 54, the saying that education, public education, to be segregated was unconstitutional and it should be integrated, and the march towards integration. And you have people coming up saying, no way in hell. You get all of these social forces coming together and saying, education, education, education is a problem, it's what have you, and this is what education should be. So we begin to see a real changing of the purpose of education. And all the subsequent years, you have Bush 1, wanting to be the education president. Clinton, education, was it, Dole 2000. Bush 2, no child left behind. Obama, race to the top. And I won't go where we are now. But with all of these changes and all of these forces, they are the ones who have been shaping the purpose of education. And to close this out, teachers, purpose of education is articulated in both the curriculum and in your teacher prep program. Your teacher prep program and the courses that you take in college are part and parcel of what public education is supposed to be then and going into the future, and you become the conveyor through which this purpose is achieved. You get to your district, you get to your school, you get to your classroom, you implement the curriculum through the pedagogy that you've been trained to do so, you start playing a role in whatever that purpose is. I laid out 15 different purposes. You play a role in whichever one or combination of these purposes that I list, and I'm sure there are some that I did not list. You play a role. In most situations, you don't have a choice. Going back to 2015, 2016, when I went out on the road, first road trips and the three road trips that I took, I heard so often about from teachers about how I can't teach anymore like I want to teach. I'm frustrated. I'm angry. I want to leave the profession because no child left behind requires this. Common Core requires that. I'm no longer a teacher. No, you're not in that regard. And point that I want to make with the current emphasis coming out of No Child Left Behind, Race to the Top, and whatever you know who is going to do, your role has changed. If you don't fulfill the new role, you're disposable. Plain and simple. Think about this. When I was on the road and before, senior teachers, Chicago, you name it, were being let go. Districts finding fault with a person who had been teaching 20 years and considered outstanding all of a sudden was deficient. Getting rid of those teachers who are making $80,000 and instead bringing in three Teach for America at $60,000. Those Teach for America, I'm just using Teach for America, now it could be Relay. Those people came in, they were going to teach to the purpose. And the purpose was to narrow the curriculum, test prep, test, hopefully high achievement. That was the purpose, that was the focus, and that's what they did. You didn't fit because you wanted to maybe have a purpose of helping kids become their intellectual selves, become their creative selves, become citizens. And look also what happened with that curriculum, the narrowing of the curriculum, the arts, the humanities, the social sciences were stripped. Why? They weren't to be tested, so you say, well, that's why. No, I would argue that they were stripped because it is the social sciences and the humanities, and I'm including art in that big statement, that helps the individual become a discerning citizen, that helps the individual intellectual development. It helps the individual in terms of his or her emotional and psychological development into well-being. It helps with the creativity. It also can help with the moral and ethical character development. That was not what the regime in place now want. They want the students who can come out, become consumers, fill the jobs that business says we need. Right now, the emphasis on coders. Everybody should become a coder. That cracks me up in a negative way, folks. And everyone should become STEM majors, you know, science, technology, electronics, everyone. A nation of this. Not social sciences, not psychologists, sociologists, not political scientists. Doctors, okay, maybe we can deal with the doctors, but not historians, artists, and what have you, because that's not the purpose that the current regime, by current I mean from the 1980s to where we are now, want and need. And if you can't get to that purpose as a teacher, you are disposable. Parents, if you can't get to that, you are sending your kids into harm's way. And the ripple effect is continuous. Purpose is everything, folks. Now, this is my argument, but I think you'll find many people would agree with this argument. Purpose is everything. You have a role in the purpose scheme. Parents have a role in the purpose scheme. The students have a role in the purpose scheme. You need to understand that connection and the big picture of purpose. I'm out of time, folks. I think I did pretty much what I wanted to do. And I want to say, Joe, if you can hear this, get well. I'm counting the hours. Thanks, everyone. Have a good Sunday. See you next week.
Join us again next time as we explore and become aware of the most pressing problem of our time, education, corporate America, and their unholy alliance. I said, whoa!